Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, living for God has a lot of benefits. A lot of people like to think about all the negatives. I can't think of any negatives. I don't get to be a drug addict. I'm happy about that. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm happy about that. I'm married to the love of my life. I'm happy about that. There's something about living for God that the blessings of God are priceless. They're priceless. People say, oh, I can't do this. You can't do that. What are you talking about? I don't get to do that. What do you mean? I get to live for God. I choose not to do that. I choose to live the way that I am. This is what I want. I want to be saved. I like waking up in the morning and knowing how I got home. I like not spending my paycheck on drugs and having a family and having peace in my home. That's priceless. It's priceless. Hallelujah, hallelujah. John 19 and 38 said, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being the disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pounds in weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in that garden, a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. John 21 and 5 says, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me more than these? We have no idea what these means. Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than your stuff? Do you love me more than the positions that you thought that you were going to receive or the things that you thought you were going to get by being my friend? Do you love me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I lovest thee. And he saith to him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. This morning I want to preach a little bit about beyond the benefits. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for meeting us in this place today, oh God, that your spirit has moved and flowed in this house, that we have felt your love and your mercy, even though not one of us deserve it. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, oh God. Lord, that we would feel your love in this place, oh God, that you would challenge us today, God, that we would grow closer to you, that there would be a hunger inside of us to know you, Jesus, not just experience you, not just receive your blessings, but to know you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We need to keep the Gregory Coleman family in prayer. This is Chanel Hennigan's brother. We also need to be praying for the Champagne family. Sister Joy may need another surgery, and we need to keep praying for their daughter, Gail Wooten. I met with her yesterday in Houston, prayed for her, and we need to pray that God would heal her. We serve a cancer-healing God. Amen? Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. It's good to have the Pettises with us this morning. Thank y'all so much for honoring us with y'all's presence. She's running for school board, and we got to have good people on school board. Amen? Hallelujah. Thanks, everybody, for your help that was a part of Trunk or Treat this last week. We gave out over, Sister Kim handed out these little deals to every kid that came through, and she handed out over 400 of them. And she only handed them to the children. So there's no telling how many family units, how many people we had on our church property Friday night. People just kept thanking me, thank you for doing this for us, giving us a place to come. We've had over 2,000 hits of people that have come and looked at our church Facebook page since then. We had a camera booth going. Brother Hunter helped us with that and taking pictures, and we've been posting them on Facebook. So they got their picture taken at Trunk or Treat, and then they got to go to our Facebook page to see it. And so we've got people being connected to our Facebook page, the things that are going on around here. We've already had 2,000 people come and look at it since Friday night. So thank y'all so much for all of y'all's help and everybody that was involved in Trunk or Treat. Amen. There was a young man that was a prince of Grenada. He was chosen to be the next king, and his uncle took the kingship and put this young man in prison. He spent over 50 years in prison, and the only thing, they wouldn't allow him to have any visitors. They wouldn't allow him to have any kind of connection with the outside world. All they allowed him to have was a Bible. When this young man died, they went into his prison cell, and the walls were etched with Bible trivia, where he had taken stones and etched information all from the ceiling to the floor to the walls of things that he had learned about the Bible. He had etched that Psalms 118 and 8 was the middle verse of the Bible. He etched Ezra 7 and 21 has every letter of the alphabet except for the letter J in it. He etched that Esther 8 and 9 was the longest verse of the Bible. He had Bible trivia. He had places that he knew the Word of God, that he knew where this was and that was, and how many words and letters and all of these things, the number of each thing that he had etched in the stone everywhere, that he knew about God. But it's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know God. The prison guard recorded that he never heard a prayer meeting. He never heard a moment in time where there was somebody praying and weeping in his cell. That there was a moment in time where there was never a moment where they heard him getting a hold of God and touching God. He knew a lot about God, but he did not know God. It's easy for us to go through life. We can come to church and we can hear about God. We can go to Sunday school class and we learned about God. Lot knew about God, but he knew Abraham, but he did not know God. You look at Joab, he knew David, but he did not know God. David knew God. It's one thing to know about God. It's a completely different thing to know God. There's something about it that when we come to God, we've got to come to God with all of our faults and all of our mistakes and everything that's wrong with us and everything that's not right. I hear people say, well, when I give up smoking or I give up this or I give up that, I'm not going to come to church and do this and know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's exactly where you need to be, is in the presence of God. I had a young lady, she said, well, I'm waiting for God to do it for me out here, and when I get it all fixed, I'm going to come to church. I looked at her and said, you think God's going to change you at the club or at the bar or at home watching TV and CSI? You think that's where God's going to step into your world and begin to change your life? Or do you think you have a greater opportunity of God stepping into your world in a church service where everybody's worshiping and praising God and you have an opportunity to come to an altar? I said, there's something about it. You don't come to church to get perfect to come to church. You come to church to get Jesus. God, I need you to help me. I need you to change me. I need you to deliver me. I need you to help me to talk right, think right, act right, love my wife right, be the person my kids need me to be. I need God to help me to be that person. Amen. And the only way that I can become that person is by coming to an altar and allowing his presence to move and flow in my life. Yeah, some of us, we can be scared to death of an altar, because if I get too close to an altar, that it might change my life. I might get embarrassed. I might shed a tear. I might cry. I might get into the presence of an Almighty God. I might if I can get just close enough to God to feel like I'm all right, then I'm good. If I can feel His presence, if I can come to church and they can sing the right song, and I can wade through all the stuff and I can still feel His presence, then I'm all right. If I can still just speak in tongues just for a minute and make sure everything's all right. Now, I don't want to get too serious about it. I don't want to get too close. I don't want to make any real investments. I don't want to spend too much time down here. A lot of tears and snot and stains, and this is a nasty, dirty place. And I don't want to be too close to it. And so I'm gonna worship God, but I'm gonna do it on my own terms, and He understands. We've got a good understanding, and I've got my own thing going, and I see things the way that I want to see them, and live life the way that I think that it should be lived, in the interpretation that I've decided for myself. And Cain was the same way. Cain came to church. Cain came to worship. He was there to lift up God. He had brought a sacrifice. The problem was that it was on his own terms. He just wanted to bring what Cain wanted to bring, not what God was asking for, not what God was requesting, but what Cain desired to put on the altar. That's all that he was willing to bring to the house of God. And so I'll be there, I'll worship, but it's going to be on my own terms. It's going to be the way that I want to. It's going to be the way that I like to do it. There's something about it. When you get into an altar, there's a chance that you're going to be touched of God. There's a great chance that His anointing is going to move and flow, and His arms are going to wrap around you. There's a great chance that you might get delivered of something. There's a great chance that you could leave different than when you came. There's a great chance that things you used to struggle with, you don't struggle with no more. Or things you struggle with, all of a sudden you understand, I got to get rid of this. I got to get it out of my life. God's convicted me of it. I got to lay it down. I got to put it aside. I got to get rid of it. But if I can stay just far enough away from the altar, then it doesn't affect my life too much. I can serve God and it doesn't really affect me that much. I'm come to church, I'll be faithful, I'll show up, they sing good songs, I'll worship, but if I can keep my distance, then I'll be all right. I can pretty much keep God exactly where I want to keep Him. We read about Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, the scripture says, but from afar. You see, you've got to understand, Joseph of Arimathea was one of the 10 richest men in Jerusalem. He had a business. He had great property. He had friends. He had people. He was a man of influence. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was on the council. Everybody knew who Joseph was. He enjoyed what Jesus had to say. Man, when Jesus would get up to preach, man, he'd sneak in the back, stand by the back pole, and he would listen. And when Jesus was out on the hillside teaching, he would show up and he would sit there. And he loved what he felt when people were getting healed. Man, he enjoyed it. He wanted to be a part of the benefits, but part of all the stuff that God was giving out, all the stuff that God was a part of, the blessings and the goodness and all of the things, the benefits of being a disciple of Jesus. That's what he wanted. I want salvation. I want to be saved. I want to be healed when my baby's sick. I want a place that I can bring my baby. When things are going rough, I want to be able to come to you and you speak a word into my life or give me direction and things. But I don't want to get too close, because the scripture says he was afraid of the Jews. And so he was worried about what Sally might say or what Bobby might say. And as long as he could worship God from a distance, then he had exactly what he wanted. Nicodemus was one of the 3 richest men in Jerusalem. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was very influential in the city. And the scripture says that he would come to Jesus by night. He would come to Jesus when everybody else had gone home and everybody else was asleep, and he would sneak to him in the middle of the night. And what must I do to inherit eternal life was his question. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He wanted to be close to Jesus. He wanted to be saved. He wanted God, the benefits of being close to Jesus, but he didn't want anybody else to know that he knew Jesus. He didn't want anybody else to know that Jesus had impacted his life or had affected him or was dealing with him. And so as long as I could see Jesus and live for Jesus, but from a distance, if I need to come on a Sunday morning and get a blessing, then I can come on a Sunday morning and get a blessing and be on my way. If I need a healing, I can come on a Wednesday night and we can pray and have the church pray, and then I can slide back out. And I want to live for God. I want the benefits of God. I want all of the things that God can do in my life, but I want it from a distance. I want it from a place that it makes my life comfortable. I want it from a place where it all makes sense, where I can see the whole view of everybody else that I get to watch, but I don't really participate. I don't get involved in what it is that God really wants to do in my life. There's something about it that it's easy to live for God as long as I can do it on my own terms. Preacher, I want to live for God, but I want to do it. I'm going to do it from over here. I'm going to do it from a comfortable distance. I'm going to do it from where I feel comfortable, what makes me feel okay with my relationship with God. And so I want to be a disciple of yours, but I want to be a disciple over here. I want to know you. I want the benefits of it. I want to be close to you, but I want to do it on my own terms. I want to show up and slide in when it's comfortable. I want to show up when everything's going good. I've got friends that if they find out that I believe in you, that it's going to affect my finances. It's going to affect some of the jokes that I can tell on my job. It's going to affect some of the places that I go. They'll call me a hypocrite if they find out I come to church on Sunday and then I'm out there with them on Friday night. There's just some things it's going to affect my life a little more than I'm willing for it to affect me. So I love you. I want to be saved. I want all of the benefits. I want everything that you can give me, but I just want to do it from afar. I just want to do it from a comfortable distance from where it makes my life simple. These two men, highly influential in the city of Jerusalem, these two men, two of the top 10 richest men in the city, these men had influence, they had business, they had all, but they were worried that their relationship with Jesus might affect all of that. I might have to do business right if I get too close to God. I might have to start treating people right. I might have to start doing things right on the job. I might have to start doing things the right way. I've made a lot of money doing it this way. And if I get too close to him, I might have to change some of the things that I've been doing. And so I want to be a disciple, Joseph said, but I want to do it from afar because I'm afraid of what everybody else might think. They might not be my friend. They might not hang out with me anymore. They might not. And so I'm just going to do it from afar. When Jesus was crucified, we don't read of these two men being involved in any of it. Two of the most wealthy men, influential men in the city, they had to know what was going on. They heard the story. They knew that something was going on. They heard the murmurs. They heard the crowds as they gathered and screamed, give us Barabbas. They knew something was going on, but we never heard of either one of them speaking up and trying to say anything. We never read of any of them saying, you don't understand. I know this man. He's a good man. You don't understand. I met him in the middle of the night, and he explained to me that I've got to receive his spirit, and I didn't fully understand it, and he said that I got to be born again in the water into the spirit, and I'm still trying to figure it out, but he's a good man. He doesn't deserve what you're doing. But we don't read of them getting involved in any of it. It might affect the way that I live. It might affect what's going on. I really don't want anybody to know that I have anything to do with this Jesus. And they sat in the distance and watched. I imagine as people screamed and hollered, they looked from the side and inside it hurt, and inside they felt for it. But I don't really want to get involved with what's going on here because it might affect my life too much. But something happened between the courtroom and the cross. Something happened inside of Joseph of Arimathea as he was a man, as a disciple of Jesus from afar. But something happened as he stood there, as he saw Jesus on that cross. As Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men nigh unto me. That if I go up on that cross, that they'll understand who I am and how much that I love them. If I go up on that cross, that they'll understand what's going on. And there was something that happened when Jesus was risen up on that cross, that something inside of Joseph changed, because we find him going to Pilate and literally begging for the body of Jesus. Give me his body. I really don't know what we're going to do with it yet. No, you don't understand. I've got to have it. Joseph, I've never seen you this passionate about this. I didn't even know you knew who Jesus was, and now you want his body? No, you don't understand. You've got to give me his body. You can't give it to anybody else. You can't let the Romans have it. You can't let the Pharisees have it. You've got to give me the body of Jesus. Finally, Pilate agreed that he could have the body of Jesus as Joseph went down. You see pictures of this gathering of people that went and they were taking the body of Jesus off the cross. The Bible doesn't really say what all happened, but it did say that Joseph of Arimathea was there. Joseph, a man that was a disciple of Jesus from afar, reaches down and he grabs the nail that was in Jesus' feet. And he begins to work it loose, and blood gets on his hands. Joseph of Arimathea, a man that wanted to live for God, but from a distance now, climbs the ladder up the side of that cross, and he begins to try to get the hands of Jesus off of that cross as they were nailed to it. As one of them falls around him, and all of a sudden, now there's blood down this nice garment that he's wearing, and now there's blood on his shirt. And at one point, it was from afar, it was comfortable, it was a distance that nobody knew, but now all of a sudden, he's holding Jesus up on this cross, and he begins to hear the footsteps of a man coming behind him, and he turns to look. He wonders if it's crowds to mock. He wonders if it's business partners or somebody else, but the scripture says that it's Nicodemus, a man that would only come to Jesus by night, but now he's carrying 100 pounds of myrrh and alloy. 100 pounds is a lot of weight as he's making his way towards Golgotha, a man that at one time would just sneak up in the middle of the night or in a service that when he needed Jesus, but now he's carrying 100 pounds up a mountain and he's coming towards Jesus. Joseph must have looked at him. They knew each other. They were in the same groups, the same Sanhedrin. What are you doing here, Nicodemus? You don't understand. I used to come and find him at night when nobody else knew, but something's happened inside of me that I've got to get close to my Jesus. Something's happened inside of me that I've got to do something about it. I've waited too late. I've waited too long. I've got to be a part of what's going on. And it was Joseph and Nicodemus that took the body off of the cross, and they begin to prepare it there as they begin to wrap it. They picked the body up, and there was a tomb that they had purchased that Joseph had inquired, and they begin to carry the body of Jesus through the streets. Joseph, don't you understand that this is going to affect your life? Yeah, I understand that it's going to affect my life, but I've lived in such a way for so long that I didn't allow it to affect my life, but I can't live that way anymore. Joseph, you've got his blood on you. Yeah, I don't care. Joseph, somebody's going to see you. Yeah, but you don't understand. It used to be all about me, but something happened inside of me, and I don't want it to be all about me anymore. I want it to be all about him. Nicodemus, what is the problem? What are you doing here? You're the third richest man in Jerusalem. You need to quit this. You're going to ruin your reputation. You're going to affect your business. No, you don't understand. I would just come when it was convenient. I would just come when it was easy for me. I would just come when I got off work early enough. I would just come when things were simple and when I needed God. I was just a part of the benefits, but something's happened to me today. Something inside has gotten a hold of me that says I'm not interested in what's in it for me anymore. I'm not interested in what I can obtain from it. I'm not interested in what it is that I can have, but I want it to be all about him. You got blood on you, Nicodemus, I know, but it's all right. I've got to take care of my Jesus. Nicodemus, people are watching you. It's all right. It's okay if they see me. I've got to take care of my Jesus. I might have waited too late. I might have waited too long. I've got to be a part of this. I've sat on the sidelines for too long. I've allowed others to do this. I've seen others that have been a part, but now it's my turn to be a part of it. If I'm not careful, my relationship with Jesus can be all about me. It can be one-sided. What am I going to get out of this? What am I going to receive? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why are these things going on? Why don't they want to do that? Why didn't it look the way that I want it to look? Why doesn't it happen to? What about me and my stuff? And the truth of the matter is it was never designed for it to be about us. It was designed for it to be all about Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. And if we make it about Him, the scripture says He'll take care of us. If I'll make it about Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and He'll take care of everything else. That if I'll seek Him first. Joseph, do you know Jesus? No, I never heard of Him. I hear He's a good guy. Never been close to Him, never talked to Him. No. I want to be a disciple. But I want to be a disciple from over here. I want to be a disciple from where it's comfortable. I want to be a disciple for where it'd make it easy on my life. I want to be a disciple from where it doesn't affect me. I want to be a disciple from where things might be easier. I want to be a disciple, but I want to do it from a comfortable distance for me. There's been moments and times in my own life when I decided I was going to live for God, there was no other choice. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to go anywhere else. This is what I'm going to do. But it just seemed like it might have been a little bit on my own terms. See, on my own terms, I don't have to do what God's called me to do. On my own terms, I don't have to be involved in my own terms. But when it becomes about Him, there's got to be some things that are laid down in the process. God, I've made it about me for too long. God, I want to make it about You. I've made it about my problems and my stuff and my things and my desires and the stuff that makes me happy for too long. God, I want to make it about You. It's amazing to me the two men that stayed the furthest away from Jesus. When He was on that cross, something happened inside of Him, but because it was those two men that showed up and said, I got to change. I got to do something different. I got to do something different. Let me get a hold of that nail. You're going to get blood on you, Nicodemus. It's all right. It's no big deal because it's all about Him. You're going to get dirty, Joseph. It's all right because it's not about me anymore. It's all about Him. The historians say that Nicodemus lost everything because of his decision to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The men in his business world turned on him and they didn't want anything to do with him. They read stories of his daughter in the field getting grain that was for the horses. But there's something about it that when you're in the will of God, nothing else matters. That when he had all the money and all of the stuff and he would just slide in when it was comfortable. But it wasn't like, what? I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what anybody else does. I want it to be all about Him. Lord Jesus, God, these are good people. People that love You. But in life, we get busy. We get torn. We get pulled. We get drugged from one place to the next, one direction to the next. And before long, we find ourselves on the outside looking in. I'm tired. I'm weary. I just got off work. I'm wore out. I got other things that are more important. I've got other things that are going on in my life. I've got God saying, you don't understand. If you'll come to me, if you'll fall in love with me. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Church, do we really love him? Or is it just something we do? Do we really love him, or is there something inside that says, I long to be close to him? I don't want to just know about him. I don't just want to hear good sermons about him. I don't want to just hear about him in Sunday school. I don't want to just hear about him from somebody else, but I want to fall in love with him for myself. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. My question to you this morning is, do you really love him? Or is it just something that's convenient? Is it just something we do? Is it just something from afar that makes life easier? That we want the benefits. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want my family to be saved. But I just want to do it from over here. But there's something inside that says, I can't just keep doing it from over here. Over here is not enough. Just doing it from a distance is not enough. Just being a disciple from over there is not enough. There's something inside that longs to be close to this Jesus. There's something inside that longs to get a hold of this. There's something inside that longs to feel his presence. Oh, and his love. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Church, do you love me? Do we really love him? Is there something inside that longs to be close to him? Is there something inside that longs to be what he would want us? Lord Jesus, we stand here today, God, needing a Savior. We stand here today needing somebody that could wrap their arms around us and letting us know that we're loved. But God, careful, I can make it all about me. And it really has nothing to do with you. It's my needs and my stuff and my desires and my purpose and my things. And it has nothing to do with you. But this morning, Lord Jesus, I want you to know, God, that I want it to be about you. I want you to know that I love you. If somehow, some way, the currents of life have caused me to drift, God, I want you to know I want to get back close to you, God. I want to get back to an altar, God. I want to get back to a place that you can work and move in my life. I want to get to a place, God, that I can feel your presence. I want to get to a place, God, that I know that you're near. I love you. As they begin to sing, these altars are open this morning. Is there anybody in this place that would like to come to an altar and say, Jesus, God, I want you to know that I love you today, God.
Jesus,
God, there's been moments in my life, God, that I found myself at a distance, that I found myself that I want to live for you. I want the benefits. I want the blessings. But I found myself at a distance. But God, I want your spirit in my life, and I want you more than I want anything else, Jesus. God, I want to fall in love with you, God. Lord, I don't love you like I used to. Maybe I've allowed some things to slip in my life. Maybe there's some things that I've allowed to creep up in my life, God. But Lord Jesus, I don't want to be a disciple from afar, God. But I want your spirit in my life. I want to fall in love.
It's always been
there's got to be something inside
you,
Jesus. I want to fall in love with you this
Jesus,
morning, God. Lord, I want to get close to you, Jesus. I don't care if I get a little bit of you on me. I don't care if it changes me.
Nothing
I don't care if I leave this place
world
different. I don't care if this altar makes me into a better person. I don't care if there's something that happens inside of me that
Jesus,
I leave this place.
You're the
center. I just want to be close to you. You to be the center
everything
of my life,
revolves
God.
Around
way
you,
in my life.
Jesus.
God, I want you. I want you. I want you.
Jesus,
I want you.
Be the center of my life.
Hallelujah. Let's all just
Jesus,
spend some time
be
with Jesus.
The center of my
God,
life.
God, I've got to have you the center. Today,
from
Jesus.
Beginning to
Lord, I've got
the
to have you the center of my life.
It will
Jesus.
Always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Do you know him? Yeah. I've met him. I've seen
Jesus.
Him. I've seen him.
Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. And nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do.
Jesus, you're the same.
all stand this morning and just lift up our hands and begin to sing that?
Jesus,
you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. And nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center.
You know, I've always been a little bit of a list person. As Ashley knows, if she wants me to do anything around the house, there better be a list on Friday night before I do it on Saturday. Because if there's not a list, it's not getting done. If you want me to go to the store for you, leave me a list. Because if it's not on the list, it's not getting bought. If you need me to do something during the week, give me a list. And I'm afraid that sometimes that mentality has a way of seeping into our priorities. You know, number one, God, number two, family, number three, church. But what if, instead of making a list, we said, you know what? I'm going to put Jesus not number one, but rather I'm going to take Jesus and stick him at the center of my family. I'm going to stick Jesus at the center of my job. I'm going to stick Jesus in the center of my church. It's not Jesus 1, 2, 3. It's now Jesus influencing and at the center of every aspect of my life. I want him to be a part of everything. I want him to be a part of my kids' life. That's why I go lean over that crib every night and lay my hand on Braden and say, buddy, there's nothing more important than falling in love with Jesus. That's what we want. Thank you, Jesus. It's beyond benefits. The relationship with Jesus is just an incredible thing. And you know, we built some relationships around here on Friday night at the Trunk or Treat. Thank you to everyone who helped. Hey, Eddie, if you'll bring me that basket right behind you. We did something. We got people to sign up for a free Nintendo DS3. You want to talk about get people's real information, you give them something to worth giving you their real information about. And so we're going to draw. Come here, Noel. Come here. No? I can't believe you told me no. Bria, come help me. We're going to go ahead and draw for this Nintendo DS here. You're going to draw a name out of there, and whoever she picks, don't draw two. Yeah. Who you got? A second name on there. It would be a name that I can't say, huh? Okay. Jessica Thomas, who... We don't know who that... Anybody know who Jessica Thomas? Your daughter-in-law. All right. Well, Jessica... Does she have a kid? Kyrus? How do you say it? C-A-R-Y? Karis. Okay, well, Karis just won a Nintendo DS. And just for clarification's sake, so y'all... Nobody will think we rigged anything. I went in there and I told the ushers who put these in the basket, I said, any kid that goes to our church or is connected to our church, pull their name out because they don't qualify. And so, I know, I love y'all too. I will be fired this week. All right. No, thank y'all for coming again, Miss Bess. Thank you for coming. And y'all have a great week. God bless you, and we'll see you on Wednesday night. ladies' prayer on Tuesday.